Coming up on Red and Gold, we'll rub elbows with some of the NFL's greatest players, coaches, and icons as we take a look behind the scenes at the 44th Annual 101 Awards Show, hosted right here in Kansas City.
40-some years you guys have done this stuff. This is pretty good.
Plus, I sit down with the man himself, head coach Andy Reid.
It's loud. It's intimidating. It's best in the National Football League, bar none.
Then we call in the experts to break down some of the top performers at this year's NFL Scouting Combine. It's all next on Red and Gold.
Across the 40, Charles is going to go. See you later.
Hey Chiefs fans, welcome to Red and Gold. I'm your host, Rachel Sanchi. The 2014 Chiefs season isn't underway quite yet, but there's still plenty of things going on at One Arrowhead Drive. And we're here to keep you in the know of everything happening through the offseason. It was less than a year ago today that the Chiefs introduced their newest signal caller, Alex Smith. A lot has happened since last March, including a season where Alex set career highs in passing yards, touchdowns, and rushing yards. And he also guided the team to 11 wins and a playoff berth. Not bad for his first season as a Chief. In this week's Spotlight, we let the men from Press Row share their thoughts on Alex Smith's 2013 season.
Breaking news, the 49ers have agreed to trade Alex Smith to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I remember when the first rumors broke about Alex Smith being traded to the Chiefs. In a very positive beginning to a new era, that was kind of a bizarre reaction from fans, as Alex Smith was an indication that this was just the same thing over and over again.
The perception of Alex Smith was not what we got, and I mean that in a good way.
There was this very strong mutual attraction between Andy Reid and Alex Smith. They both saw that the other was a really good fit for what they like to do. Alex went to the 49ers front office and said, if we can work out the trade to Kansas City, that's where I want to go. And I think that's why Andy Reid really wanted to make that happen.
A new town, new coach, new general manager, new organization, new owner, new teammates, everything changes.
Alex Smith onto the field, and all this guy has been doing the last 3 years is winning.
He's smart. He's heady. He doesn't turn it over.
And I think Alex Smith bristles at the term game manager, but I think it's the second level of being a quarterback. You better be a game manager, and there's a lot of guys who can't do it.
He puts kind of a positive spin on the game manager thing. It's making good decisions, knowing when to break the pocket. And I think those are the things that he does as well as anybody.
The next stage is being a playmaker. I think the athleticism of Alex Smith sometimes gets misunderstood.
To be smart and be able to get out of a jam and make a play with his feet, those are invaluable. And he's kind of sneaky fast, too. And he just is.
We saw it when he was in college. The guy likes to run. If you underrate or underestimate his athletic ability, he's going to burn you.
You don't have to design runs. Just the fact that he can take off at any time forces the defense to prepare differently for an Alex Smith than they would an immobile quarterback that's just going to stay in the pocket.
Still has it. Smith! Wow, he faked them all out. Touchdown, Kansas City!
He's quick enough to where he can make plays with his feet, and he's smart enough to where he can make plays and read defenses. If you are smart and you play smart, you're going to be a good quarterback.
You're talking about an exceptionally smart guy. I mean, he graduated with an economics degree in 2.5 years. I mean, this isn't just like football smart, as sometimes we say.
He seems to have a great command of the locker room, really an unspoken confidence.
This is the guy that can keep things under control. And then, of course, with Andy being in place, we all know the guru he is with quarterbacks.
Do whatever you want. You got the keys to the car.
This seems too easy.
Alex Smith on the money.
The thing that makes that such a good fit, the system requires quick, smart decisions, accurate passes in the mid-range. That's his strength. Stepping back, a quick decision. That guy's not open. My second read is open. I'm going to go there. People talk about his arm on the deep ball, but it's there. As long as he can pick the holes in the mid-range and then soften the defense up and go deep after that.
Alex Smith will throw from his own end zone. He is throwing long left for Avery in the deep ball. He makes the catch, burn in the corner. The Chiefs go deep on first down.
early on in the year, the offense, they didn't need to take a lot of risks because the defense was so good. But then all of a sudden you lose your two rush ends. So there was more pressure put on the offense.
The breakout moment for me on Alex Smith, where you started to say, okay, this guy's more than just a caretaker, was the game against San Diego, which may sound funny because it's a loss, but he found himself in a shootout with an experienced quarterback, and he went toe-to-toe. That wasn't game management. That was playmaking.
This guy came out like gangbusters. And folks said, where was this guy 3 games ago? Well, you didn't need him 3 games ago. You need him now, and you have him now.
Alex Smith answered the doubters. He can make plays.
Last year at this time, everybody with the Chiefs was saying all the right things about Alex. There's a difference between saying that and going through a season with a guy.
We saw that evolution in the second half, Alex, and the wide receivers really start to come together and connect. And I think what you hope is now through another OTAs and through another training camp and into the season that they pick up where they left off last year and go beyond it.
I think people will universally embrace him coming into next year. The NFL is all about winning games. The numbers are thrown out the window if you show that in the biggest moments you can win games, and Alex Smith's shown that, and he's won a lot of fans in Kansas City.
It seems like just yesterday that the trade for Alex Smith was made official, and a new era was underway in Kansas City. Earlier this week, I sat down with one of the men behind that trade, Andy Reid. Coach, you're now into year two in Kansas City. How much different is this offseason than the last?
So far, it's different. It's smoother. You've got a staff. You've got John Dorsey and his staff. I guess you've walked in those shoes for a year of going through the whole process, getting ready for the draft. It's quite a bit different.
Taking a quick look back at 2013, now that the season's been over for over a month now, what are some of the accomplishments from that season that you're most proud of?
It's proud of the guys and the job that they did and trusting the coaches. I was proud of the coaches for coming in and teaching the way they did. But the players, their attitude was great. They just said, hey, whatever you want us to do, we're going to do, and we'll see how it works.
Finishing up your first season at Arrowhead Stadium, what was that home field advantage like?
It's best in the National Football League, bar none. I had the opportunity of coming in and playing here as an opponent, and I didn't like it. And so I was really liking it when I was now the head coach. It's loud. It's intimidating. The fans are 100% behind you. It's a great atmosphere.
As a head coach, what do you take most out of the combine?
Well, really what I do is, John, it's a time where John kind of catches me up on the personnel, introduces me to it, really. And then I have a chance to meet the players. So if I take one thing out of there, it's that I've been able to sit down with them like we're sitting here and talk. And even though they're a little bit programmed by their agents, you can work your way through that and get to know the person. You're dealing with some great kids, and there are a bunch of them. You go, you know what? Mom and Dad did a good job with you, or coach, or whoever was their mentor did a great job with them. They're some great people, and that's what makes this job so much fun and so interesting.
Take us through your off-season schedule. In the months heading into the draft, you and your staff work around the clock. What's next?
For the football side of it, we work scheme evaluation half the day, and then the other half we're doing personnel, and that's broken up into free agency and the college draft. And that's the way it'll go right up to the draft. Whatever John needs us to do, we'll do from a personnel standpoint. And if we're not doing a whole lot there, then we're doing the football part of it. You've got, after the draft, you've got the mini camps coming up, so you're prepping for that. You're prepping, like I said, for scheme evaluation. What are you going to do different this year to keep the opponent off guard? Because they're sitting in there studying you at this time, just like we are our opponents. And you want to make sure that you keep it fresh and exciting. That'll take you right up to the end before we take our break and get ready for training camp.
How much momentum and drive does this team have heading into this offseason and looking forward to the 2014 season?
And you know what they did? They built a great foundation. So they've got something that they can build on now. And that's so important when you're putting together a program. And when you get a little taste of winning, you want more. And I can't wait to get the guys back here and let them jump in and get going.
Coming up, we bring in the experts. Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, and special guest Nick Jacobs join us to give their take on the top performers at this year's NFL Scouting Combine. Then, we catch up with some of the NFL's finest as we give you an all-access look into the glitz and glamour of the 101 Awards. Although training camp is still 4 months away, the Chiefs organization is already hard at work assembling the 2014 roster. Every February, the best players in college football converge on Indianapolis to showcase their skills at the NFL Scouting Combine. This week-long event featured 335 players being evaluated by representatives from all 32 teams. Now, this is only a 30-minute show, so we don't have time to talk about everybody. So I called in some experts to give us a breakdown of the most impressive prospects in Indianapolis.
And Doc Charles, run to the near side. He's got the open field. It's going to be hit and obliterated. It's sacked by Tom Mahoney.
What's the throw for
Bolly? At the 30, at the 20. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Little Chiefs Live Overdrive Combine Edition for you. Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, along with Nick Jacobs, director from Time Warner Cable Sports Channel, who was at the Combine. More underclassmen there than ever before, but the general feeling was maybe more talent that's been there in recent years. Do you concur?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. You had so many guys there that don't have that tread on their tire necessarily to where they're coming out a little bit quicker. So, I mean, that allows you to have some depth to where third, fourth, fifth round, you're going to have a lot of quality players that in other drafts may have gone second.
Talking about tires, Jadeveon Clowney would be a tractor tire.
Yeah. What Jadeveon was able to do, you're not going to find many guys that are almost 270 pounds that can be able to run just like a wide receiver or a corner. And Jadeveon had a phenomenal combine for the most part. All the numbers he put up were very freakishly good. A lot of scouts were happy to see those numbers.
I know Chiefs fans want to see DBs. Yeah. What about corners and safeties? Are any Seattle Seahawks type guys in this draft?
Justin Gilbert from Oklahoma State is one of those guys that has good size. He's got good speed to him, and he could be a very promising player.
But he's going to be a top 10 pick. It looks like a dynamic returner. He was shattering Big 12 records with Oklahoma State Cowboys and maybe the top corner in this draft. There's some safety guys. I know the prior kid at Louisville comes to mind, or Clinton Dix at Alabama.
Yes, Clinton Dix is another one of those guys that can cover a lot of range. Obviously very well disciplined in Nick Saban's system. Calvin Pryor is a guy who's all over the place. He could be a free safety, strong safety, then move him in the box, run him on blitzes. He has natural ability, good speed. When he's under control, he's a good open field tackler. He has the experience of what Bob Sutton would want in this type of system.
What about on the offensive side of the football overall? What did you see?
The offensive side of the football, there are a lot of athletes out there. If you need a wide receiver, this is a year to definitely go after one because, I mean, Odell Beckham's a very talented guy. Mike Evans, talented guy. Sammy Watkins probably won't fall to Kansas City, but a very talented guy. There's at least five or six guys that you can get in those first three rounds that it could really help contribute.
When I ask you about Odell Beckham Jr., his ability to be a returner. He had a 109-yard return for a touchdown on a missed field goal by UAB. Mm-hmm. Can he be a consistent type returner, particularly like a punt returner?
Yes, and that is another aspect of his game that is a must-have on your football team. And he's a lot like Nile Davis. Nile can make a cut, and when he makes that cut, he doesn't lose any acceleration in any way, shape, or form. Cuts, goes, and that's the same thing with Odell Beckham. That's something that I really do like about him.
We hear about the Oregon receivers. But what about Cooks at Oregon State, and is he a DeSean Jackson type?
Brandon is going to be a little bit smaller, obviously. He reminds me a lot of Welker in terms of the compactness as a receiver. The thing that I really want to see him work on, whether when he comes to the next level, is his ability to be able to explode out of his route. Now, once he gets the ball in his hands, he's a dynamic player in that open field, and his vision is fantastic.
Another guy, Marquise Lee, the kid from USC. What did you see in him?
Lee is definitely one of those guys. He plays with that savvy route running ability to where he knows how to set up a corner, to where he knows how to use that shoulder properly to fake outside and then be able to give himself a little space inside on a comeback route or potentially on a slant to where he can fake outside, then come in and give himself a nice little space. He's another one of those dynamic receivers.
Now let's go to some local guys because I know there's interest here. The Missouri Tigers jump up there. They've got, what, six or seven guys that could be drafted. What did you see from the Missouri contingent?
Well, from the Missouri contingent, LaDainian Washington's one of those very talented guys that's got some good speed, good size to him, knows how to ball track and can able to leap. Obviously, Coney Ely from Missouri is another one of those guys, a good pass rusher, has a little bit of Alden Smith in him and be very promising if you take the time with him.
Nick, I'm amazed at how many MIAA guys make it to the NFL right here in the Chiefs' kingdom. Pittsburgh State's John Brown.
Yes.
What'd you see there?
John Brown, I mean, he had a phenomenal combine. To be able to get that speed that he had obviously turned some scouts' attention. John Brown is one of those guys, a very dynamic returner. He sees the lanes. He knows how to be able to utilize his speed and how to be able to cut up field. There's some things he got to work on as a receiver, but obviously right now he could run a go route with the best of them. He could run a slant with the best of them. And then the drag, he can get that open field, catch it, turn up field, and he can turn a 10-yard gain into a 70-yard touchdown.
Welcome back to Red and Gold. The 101 Awards recognize those with outstanding achievements in the National Football League. This year's honorees include Peyton Manning, Robert Mathis, and Jamaal Charles, just to name a few. In this week's Access Arrowhead, we go behind the scenes at Kansas City's salute to professional football, the 101 Awards. Since 1969, Kansas City has hosted this black tie event to honor the great achievements of professional football. Being honored tonight are the top coaches, defensive, and offensive players of the year from both the AFC and the NFC. In addition, hardware is handed out to the Chiefs' most valuable player and rookie of the year. The final award for this evening is the Lamar Hunt Award for professional football. This year's honoree is Kansas City's legendary quarterback, Len Dawson.
The greatest quarterback in pro football, Lenny Dawson.
The 101 Awards is the nation's oldest award show that's dedicated solely to professional football. There's a lot of prestigious awards to be handed out tonight, so let's head inside.
I was introduced to the 101 Awards by the late Steve Sable, a dear friend of mine, when I was still working out of NFL Films. And he stopped me in a very direct, sincere way and just said, Paul, the best football banquet in the country is in Kansas City. You're going to host it. I'll get back to you later. And I showed up that first year nine seasons ago, and I think it's the classiest, most well-respected NFL awards banquet in the country, and I'm just happy to be part of it.
40-some years you guys have done this stuff. This is pretty good. You know, you gave me this award in 85. You tried to take it back in 88, but...
We're so thrilled to have the 101 here in Kansas City. It was a tradition that my dad started some 44 years ago, and it continues today strong as ever. It's one of the best awards banquets in the country. All the players and coaches who come here to be honored always say what a fantastic banquet it is and how lucky they are to be here to be honored. And it's just a tremendous asset for Kansas City and the Chiefs organization.
I've been to a few of these, but this is, across the country, this has been noted as probably one of the finest athletic banquets that represents everybody in the National Football League.
To have Peyton Manning and Mike Ditka and Ron Rivera and Andy Reid all here on the same night is a great celebration for all of us. It's also a celebration of Kansas City. You know, it started with a group of Kansas City businessmen getting together, meeting with Lamar and saying, we need to create a business award for football. And every year, it's still the same. A group of local businessmen get together, they put this together, they find the support for it, and then we get nights like we have in tonight.
I think it makes a lot of sense. It's in Kansas City, because even though there are 32 very proud franchises, I don't know if there's one that deserves to be more proud than Kansas City. It has a real love and passion for its team. It comes through every Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium, and it certainly comes through tonight at the 101 Awards Banquet.
I know we're only able to show you some of the highlights for tonight's event, but to see the whole 101 Awards show, tune in to NFL Network on Sunday, March 16th at 7 p.m. Central. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Red and Gold. We'll be here next week, same time, same place. But if you can't wait that long, go to kcchiefs.com for more news and info. And be sure to follow me on Twitter. Until next time, go Chiefs.
Toss power trap.